say. It's probably a lot of silence. I'm sitting there clickety click click on the computer. Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I've talked to plenty of Russians on the radio, but always in English. I wish it could have been in their language, but unfortunately they were the bright ones and I was the dummy. Yeah. It was interesting when I was a teenager. I used to spend a lot of time talking to the guys in Russia on the radio, and those were back in the days when the Cold War was going on. And it was really amazing. There were some guys that most of the guys you talk to, all they'd tell you was what their location was, how loud you're coming in, and what their equipment was. And it was almost always very similar. You know, it was a homemade 200-watt transceiver because 200 watts was the limit over there. And and the way they'd get their license, their ham radio license, is first they had to build their own receiver, and then they had to put up an antenna, and then they had to send out QSL cards, shortwave listener QSL cards, to a whole bunch of hams, you know, and they had to get replies, you know, QSL cards back that said, yes, you know, you really did hear me, and they had to stack up a number of these, you know, I don't know, 100 of them or something, you know, 100 different countries or something, you know, and then they had to submit that to the, the Politburo or whatever, right? And then, you know, they would get their license, and then they could build their transmitter. You know, you couldn't use a bought transmitter. You had to build your own, right? And so you'd hear these guys on Morse code, and their signals would sound like this. Dow-dee-dow-dee-dow-dow-dee-dow. You know, they have this little chirp because, you know, as they, you know, click their key down, it would load down the power supply, which would change the frequency of the oscillator on their, you know, little Morse code transmitter. And, you know, but they were very good at CW, too. I mean, Morse code, you know, that's very good at that. And they were generally very bright. But, you know, the interesting thing about it is over here, when you run into a bright person, often they have a very important kind of a job, and they don't have time to play around on the ham radio, you know. But these guys, you know, that were, you know, they were coming up with new antennas and better circuits and stuff, but, you know, but their job would be something like one of my, you know, best friends over there. His job, he was a cook, you know. And there was, a few of these guys that would tell you everything, but most of the time, you know, and of course they're all being monitored, you know. Yeah, it was crazy. But, you know, it was kind of interesting. And, you know, it wasn't that far because I lived in Alaska, so, you know, I was talking to Siberia and, you know, and all over Russia was pretty easy. So
it's still pretty easy from watching.
Yeah, right. It's still pretty easy. Yeah, right. You'll hear them coming in really well. But, you know, of course you get, I don't know, yeah. So it's, but it was kind of really interesting back then because, you know, there was all this, I mean, even in the States, you know, when I grew up, you know, they were all worried about being, you know, a nuclear attack and all this stuff. And, you know, we knew if there was a nuclear attack, well, we'd be totally wiped out because there was an Air Force base in Anchorage and an Army base, too, you know. There would be no chance any of us would survive. But. Oh, yeah, right. I mean, you know, the early warning system in Alaska, you know, let's get rid of all those guys, you know. But, you know, and so there was actually a lot of fear amongst major people, you know, most people about, you know, Russians, you know, they were like, and you know, you all these things that now are quite common, you know, they would talk about these things like they were so horrible, like, for example, you know, boy, in Russia, you know, the secret police, the KGB, is listening to you all the time, whatever you do, you know, and you know, right, yeah. I mean, you know, so now all those things that, you know, we used to say when I was a kid, man, that's the bad guys do all that stuff. We're good over here, you know. Well, sorry, I guess we're not. You know, it was all a bunch of propaganda. I didn't realize what was going on, but, you know, at least they don't put you in jail over here and send you off to Siberia quite as often, you know.
Your tax,
yeah, right. Right. I don't know. Anyway, so we need to think about class here instead of the Russians. But, you know, it was interesting growing up and getting to know some of these guys. They're really bright guys. And in those days, you know, there was no internet. So one of the things that was really great about ham radio was that you could talk to guys, electrical engineers, that really knew what they were doing, you know. And they were glad to help a teenager, you know, figure out how to do this and that and whatever, you know. And all these experiments you were doing, they were really interested in, and, you know. And so it was kind of like, you know, the internet is now. Now, you know, you can go out, you can, you know, Google and you find somebody who wrote up whatever they did and read about it, you know. Well, in those days, you know, you'd talk about it on the radio, you know, and you'd try it out on the radio. You know, I just did this thing to my antenna, you know. How's my signal compared to Ray's now, you know? Well, yesterday you were, now you're, you better go fix it. You know, all those kind of things, so. I don't know. And they didn't have, you know, computer games back then. So, you know, the game was to see how loud you could make your signal, you know. And the guys with the bigger antennas, and it turns out your antennas really has to do with your whole location and everything, you know. So the guys that had the biggest signal would be on kind of a, you know, like a 10-mile sloping hill that goes down at about 5 degrees or something, you know. And, you know, they would just completely be much louder than the other guys because their angle of radiation would be about 5 degrees lower. And, you know, if you come in at a grazing angle, you reflect a lot better, you know, on the fish tank. If you look in, you know, if you're like this, you can see the person over there, but if you're looking straight in like this, well, you can see the fish, right? So, you know, instead of your radiation going right through the ionosphere, you know, it graze off and you could talk to the guys better, you know, on the other side of the world. But, you know, your antenna does make a difference too. But it's more the location than the actual radiator elements. I mean, you can make a, you know, a little bit louder in, you know, one direction or other by, you know, reflectors and stuff. But anyway, we need to finish this problem today, and you guys are going to have to help me. My simulation is not working at this point, and I found some interesting things by doing last day we took this idea of we're going to use the easy route, right? Well, let's go look at the easy route and see what we're getting, and I don't know, you know, maybe I found some bugs in Octave. I should have had, maybe some of you guys have MATLAB on your laptop and you can try some of these things and see what C2D gives you over there, but I can tell you C2D gave us the wrong answer yesterday. It's totally bogus, man. And I haven't yet figured out, it's, it may be not in C2D, it might be in the, well, it might be in the state space from the other thing, you know, SS2 or TF2SS.
Yeah, when you do the Z transforms, instead of TF, you use FILT. So I'm wondering if...
Maybe that's bad. Okay, so maybe TF2SS doesn't work, but I think I read in there it's supposed to, but we'll go look and see. So you guys have got to help me. I'll show you all the stuff I've done here, and maybe you can help me figure out why it doesn't work, okay? So this is still the example continued here. Yeah, we do. Yeah, it's recording. So, yeah. So he'll have to listen to all that stuff about the Russians. He can fast forward. Okay, so let's look at what we had, and let me just. Okay, we got to look at. Here's what we had. Well, the last thing we had happen to us was, we discovered that A inverse didn't exist, right? Of course it doesn't, because A was, you know, 1, zeros on the diagonal and zeros. Yes, obviously doesn't, you know, he can't invert that, right? And so we have to go back to this point right here. You see, the reason we had an A inverse here is because we were integrating this guy right here, right? And so we divided by A to get a du kind of a thing, right, basically. And of course, we can't do that when A inverse doesn't exist. So we got to go back and do the integral. So let's go back and do that. And because I'm also having problems with the TF2SS or the C2D or whatever it is, it's given me the wrong phi, okay? We got the wrong phi. I'll show you that. I'm going to actually go back and compute e to the AT using the methods we talked about last day that we just kind of said, well, okay, you guys all know how to do this, right? Well, now we need to use those because I can't trust the computer or I got something wrong or whatever anyway, so we'll quickly do that. And I mean, because, you know, when it doesn't work, you got to go, you know, figure out what you did. And so that probably means you have to do some work by hand to double-check something. You know, and you always should double-check the computer, right? And you should always double-check your handwork, too, right? So I want to just, we need to go and back to that integral. We got to do that integral because the A inverse, you know, doesn't exist, right? So the first thing is I want E to the AT. So E to the AT, we need to compute this. Equals. That's what we need. It's the Laplace inverse Laplace transform of, I'm going to use this SI minus A inverse okay and A was well I guess we better go get A. I can't remember what A was, but it was like a 1. Where is A? Somewhere. Did we actually compute A, or did I only do that in my scratch paper? Okay, so I guess we better go back here. We got to figure out what A is. Did we? We had to, because we were going A inverse and it didn't exist, right?
Yeah.
Right? So we've got to have it somewhere. Let's go find it. It's got to be here, right? So here's the phi, right? We said phi was this. That's not right. Okay, so there's A right there. Okay, right there. Okay, so I got to do SI minus A inverse. So SI minus A equals, or inverse equals, okay, so it's going to be, I'm going to have an S here because the identity matrix is 1 down the diagonal, so I'm going to have an S and an S, right? Then I have to subtract that A, and on the diagonals I'm subtracting 0. Down here, I'm subtracting 1, right? And over here, I'm subtracting 0. So then I have to invert this, right? Okay, now, 2 by 2s aren't too hard to invert. I just kind of use this rule of thumb or whatever. You swap these two, you negate those two, and you divide by the determinant, okay? So I've swapped those two. So this S is actually that S. This S is that S. And this is 1, and this is 0, and on the determinant, s squared minus 0, right? So it's just s squared on the bottom, right? Now, let's just double check. I want to multiply this guy by that guy and make sure I get identity, okay? Just to make sure I remembered how to invert, right? So I go s times s, which is s squared, right, over s squared. That gives me a 1. And then 0 times 1, that's 0, okay? So I got an s squared over s squared for the 1-1 element, which is correct for the identity. S times 0 plus 0 times S gives me a 0 for this number up here. That's good. Minus 1 times S plus S times 1 gives me a 0 for this element down here. And then I've got minus 1 times 0 plus S times S is S squared over S squared. So that does work. I got the right correct thing. Now I need to inverse Laplace transform this. So E to the AT... it's just the inverse Laplace transform of that. And the inverse Laplace transform of S over S squared, that's the inverse Laplace transform of 1 over S, that is?
S.
What's the inverse Laplace transform of 1 over S?
That's just, isn't it? That's 1. No.
Yeah, U of T. Right, yeah. Yeah, U of T, or 1, U of T, I'll just put U of T, right? Okay, now what's the inverse Laplace transform of 1 over S squared? That's the integral of the what we just did, right? Which is T U of T, right? Right. So this is T U of T. And then this is U of T over here because that was the 1 over S squared, and I got a 0 up here, right? So this is, I've got it, right? Okay, so that's e to the at. Any questions on e to the at? Okay, so that means phi really is equal to, it's e to the a cap t, right? Which is e to the a times 0.1, right? In other words, I put in t as 0.1, right? I mean, a of, I don't know. So is equal to, it's going to be 1.1110. Not what we got yesterday, okay? Agreed?
Yeah.
Something's wrong from yesterday, so the computer, what was that? It was TF2SS gave us the wrong answer, you know? Octave TF2SS didn't give this. Better figure it out, okay? We gotta figure out what happened there. That's the problem, right? Okay. And this is right. I'm dead certain about that. Okay. Okay, so now we've got to get gamma, right? So gamma, we can't use gamma as equal to A inverse whatever. It's not that because A inverse doesn't exist, right? So gamma is going back. We've got to go back to where this integral came from. Where is it? We derived it back here somewhere. Here it is right here. Nope. We've got to go further than that. Sorry. I've not got the integral. Like right here. Okay. This is the thing right here, right? Oh, this is the thing right here. So gamma is equal to the integral from 0 to t, okay, of e to the a v dv times the b vector, right? So that's equal to, the integral of a matrix is the matrix of the integrals, okay? Just like the Laplace transform of the matrix was the Laplace transform of the elements, or the inverse Laplace transform was the inverse Laplace transform of the elements, right? We're using this idea. So I just need to integrate u of t, integral from 0 to t of u of t, which is 1 in that region, right? So dv, like that, that's this integral. This one's a little trickier. 0 to t of v dv, right? And this one is 0 up here, integral of 0 from 0 to t, if you want, dv, that's 0. And the integral from 0 to t of dv. So this is really pretty easy integrals here. This is just going to be t, 0, t squared over 2 minus 0, and t over here, right? Agree? Okay, so I have to multiply that by b. I forgot, times b here. b equals, I need to multiply by b. What was b?
0, 1.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just going to go like this. This is 0, 1, like that, right? Okay. So that equals t times 0 plus 0 times 1, which is t right here, right?
Yeah.
Did I do that right? Oh, no. T times 0 is 0, right? T times 0 plus 0 times 1.
to make sure I remembered it right.
Yeah, I think so. We better. I think it's not coming out with what I remember. So we better double check our B here. Make sure we got this right. Oh, 1-0. No problem. Good thing I still been thinking about this here. This should have been a 1-0. There we go. So it's going to be basically t and t squared over 2, right? T and t squared over 2. Okay, which in our case is 0.1. Man, that's a horrible point. Let's try that. 0.1. Okay, let's see. 0.1 squared is 0.01, right? Divided by 2 would be 0.005, right? I mean, I'm using mental arithmetic. I hope this is okay. Okay. I mean, we probably need to double check all that, right? So now I've got gamma and I've got b, right? Okay, so now the next thing we need to do is we need to set the poles to the places that we needed to have them, right? Now, where are the poles on this z thing? Basically, they are the same. The poles are the same thing as the eigenvalues, right? The poles are also the same things as the denominator of the transfer function, right? And I need to set the denominator of the transfer function after feedback to the proper thing, right? Now, this matrix right here, phi, it's not in controllable canonical form, really, I don't think. Maybe it is. I don't think it is, though. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to, instead of doing the transformation, there's a transformation that will take you into controllable canonical form. By the way, we should check and make sure this thing is controllable, right? So let's just do that. Let's look at this matrix. What is it? It's going to be gamma and then phi gamma. Let's do that. We don't need to. I'm gonna do that on the computer just to. I mean, you can also use the CTR. I think the CTRL or something is a function in octave that will give you that. Okay, so let me do PHI. Okay, is that the same phi as I've got over there? Is this phi? Yes or no?
Oh, that is
good
one.
Okay, so good. So now, CTRB, I think it is. Is that right? Let's do. Yeah, it finds the controllability matrix. So it's B, A, B, A squared, B, yeah. So that's what we want. So CTRB of. I want to put in A and B, which is phi and gamma. Right? Uh-oh, what, do I have gamma? I'll just plug in gamma. What did I say, 0.1? And then I need...
0.005.
I don't know whether I have that in my workspace already or not. But okay, and now I need to know the rank of that. 2. Okay, so it says it's controllable. Okay? That's good. So we check this thing, the rank of this thing, rank of that equals 2 according to octave. I don't trust octave anymore. CTRB. What's CTRB in octave? Well, let's go look and see. I'm thinking TF2SS is our problem because I've tried everything else, checked all the other stuff, and it looks okay.
What he did was he used CD and then
TF. Here's the help on TF2SS. Let's look at this. Okay, it says TF2SS here.
So that's probably what we went wrong.
but another function called fs, and that's what you use to just plug a system in like hs or whatever.
So if we had
but this also doesn't say anything about discrete, does it?
I looked it up online. It works for discrete.
It does? Where is it? Yes. What is it? I don't
it
see.
Doesn't say in here, but it said on MATLAB's.
Uh-huh. But you're supposed to put numerator and denominator, and I just put the system in there. It seems like it should give me an error if I'm doing the wrong syntax, right? But let's try TF to SS. But we need to put in the numerator,
well,
I guess.
You can just do SS of the kind of function.
Okay, SS of, HZ. Well, let's see if HZ is still there. That's right. That is HZ, so... SS of HZ.
Oh, that's not the right.
That's the same answer I got before, but it's wrong.
Is that the right HZ?
I think so. I checked it. Well, at least.
Oh, it is.
It is, but it's wrong. Okay. Yeah. To SS of numerator, which was, well, let's see, 0.005, and then denominator, which 1 minus 2, 1, is that right?
Yeah.
Same answer. What does MATLAB give you? It's giving me the same error?
I think we're not using SS correctly.
Yeah, maybe not. Or TF2SS, we're not doing it either, right?
Yeah, the process I use is I take the continuous transfer function, convert it to state space, and then use C to D to convert it to discrete. And that all is good for our answer.
So the order in which you're doing it is making a difference. That's weird.
I don't think SS knows how to convert a discrete space.
So this is what you'd get if it was a continuous thing. Like this is the numerator polynomial in S, and that's the denominator polynomial in S, and this is the matrix for that. But I somehow need to say the sample time when I do numerator and denominator because obviously, yeah, so okay, I agree this must be the continuous, but on the HZ, when I did HZ, HZ was not, it was a discrete transfer function. And MATLAB or Octave should have known that, right? And does MATLAB do the same thing? What is this? Octave is copying MATLAB's bugs? That's like really bad. I mean, you know, so I submit a bug report and they'll say, sorry, but this is what a MATLAB does, so this is what we do, right? So I have to accept to submit a bug report to MATLAB before I submit one to Octave. That's really disgusting. I mean, but really, you can do an HZ, you make an HZ there that is a discrete. Does MATLAB still do that? Like, make an HZ, you know, so do C2D of the H, right? And then do TF2SS of that or SS of that. What is it? It still gives you that? It doesn't give you an error?
SS of the discrete?
Yeah, right.
It doesn't give an error.
Ah, so anyway, whatever, your tools, you got to be really careful. Right, so we got to do it the other way around because this.
There's a whole paragraph of special instructions for discrete time systems with TF2SS.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you're doing your own problem.
Okay, so we go to continuous state space. So I go TF2. Well, let's just do this in the editor and then I won't have to. Okay, so I've got this thing up here. So instead of doing this order, I'm going to put this guy down here, Control X. I'm going to put that stuff down here. And I'm going to go TF2SS, TF2SS of H, right?
I'm not sure what we're...
H is a continuous thing, right? So what yeah, what are you saying to do, Andrew?
Yeah,
numerator, denominator? Okay.
Yeah, HSS equals SS of H. Just use the SS function.
Not TF2SS?
Yeah.
Okay, so SS of H. Okay, and now that's going to give me an. I need to put that into. To what is that? What does that give me? What do I put that into?
That's the state space.
I know, but the.
Just one variable is fine.
So what would I call that? It's H state space, HS or something. But what is the A, B, C, D matrices on that? If I got HS, how do I get the A, B, C, and D out of that?
It creates a structure that has all.
Has all those things in there. Okay, and then I have to say. Yeah, C2D. Well, yeah, that's what I got. But, okay, so I need to do C2D. So, so then I'll just do H. This HZ should work right down here, right? But I want to put HS in there instead of H. And will that give me the state space C2D?
Well, you have to define T before.
Yeah, I got to put T. T was up here. I moved it too far down. Okay. And then we'll just let's just run this and see what this gives us here. Command window. Okay, so. Here's the HS. That looks right. Now they've got a minus one on the B. Interesting. But they also have a minus one on the C matrix, so that'll... Well, is that... I don't know. I'll have to think about that for a minute, because they're not agreeing quite with our model, but it's okay. Cause, and so they're giving the right HZ of A. That's right. Right? That's the phi. HZ of B, that's the what we got, right? Except they've got negative, probably because of their negative B, right?
Yeah.
And then there's C, they had negative on that.
That's weird. I'm
not. You're not? Interesting. Well, let's look and see. Did I mess up somewhere? Okay, so H is 1 over S squared. You agree with that, right? And then all we did was, and HSS was the next thing, right? And that was this. This thing up here with the negative signs. Oops, too far. There it is. Ants A. Whoops, I went too far again. Okay, my scrolling is not working. There we go. HS. HS is giving me... Oh, I keep losing it here. I'm going the wrong way. HS, there it is, right there. HS of B is negative. Let's look at our thing and see if we agree. Our notes here. We had this thing right up here, right? Here it is. So I guess it's right there, right? I guess what they're doing is they have a minus sign. They have two minus signs. They have a minus sign on their U and a minus sign on the output. So a minus sign on the input and a minus sign on the output will cancel out when you got two integrators in between. Now, I don't know why they did that, but that's. I mean, it's the same. The system is still the same. You know. So it's okay. So I think, you know, our gamma looks okay here, and this looks okay. So we've discovered that you got to be careful when you're messing with these messing with these TF2SS only works on continuous things or something. Or you got to do some special stuff like the whole page of things you were looking at there, whatever it is.
It says that something like the column of the numerator have to be equal to the length of the denominator. There's a function that you can use to make that happen, and then it should work. So.
That sounds confusing.
If I have time later, I'll try it out and see if it works.
Yeah. So anyway, we got down to this point. Now we need to place the poles, right? So to place the poles, I want to place the poles of this B matrix. Basically, what we're going to do is I'm going to take this B matrix, and I want to make it so that the poles of the B matrix are at the locations that we had set in the Z-plane, right? So that means I need to look at what I'm going to do is I'm going to feed those things back into U, right? And in my, I guess we had the picture here. Let's go back and look at the picture. Basically, I'm going to take X of K plus 1 here, right? And I'm going to multiply it by the matrix K, and that's going to give me a 1 by 1, which will be U of K plus 1. So basically, I'm saying K times X, U equals K times X, right? Right now, what I have is I have X of K plus 1 equals B X of K plus gamma U of K, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let U of K be equal to K times X of K, okay? That means U of K plus 1 equals K. This is a vector here. K is, this is the squiggle, and that's like that. This means K of K plus 1. No. K doesn't have a K plus 1. X. K times X of K plus 1, right? Okay. So what I want to do is I'm going to plug this guy back in there and look for the new eigenvalues of the whole system again with that. So I'm plugging this guy back in here, and so I get X of K plus 1 equals phi. And actually, I'm going to make this negative feedback to match what the book does here, like that. And I probably, right here we didn't do it. I don't know whether you want to do, you want to continue on with what I did there, or you want me to change the definition here to match the book. The book uses a negative K. You want to continue on with what we have in the notes, or what? What's that? Stay consistent?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just going to say K. So I'm going to have phi plus... I can factor the x out on the other. Maybe I should do this here. I'll do this in two steps. X of k plus gamma times k times x of k. And maybe we need to think about the dimensions on these things. This guy is 2 by 1, right? This guy is a 1 by 2. Right, a 2 by 1 times a 1 by 2 is a what?
2 by 2.
2 by 2. This guy is a 2 by 2, okay? So this guy and that guy, these two guys multiplied together, have the same dimensions as this guy. I can factor out X of K on the right, and I get phi plus gamma K times X of K. And this is X of K plus 1. Okay, so this is the standard difference equation, the thing you would do to solve this difference equation. would be to find the eigenvalues of phi plus gamma k, or another way of looking at it is, you know, this thing right here, this is like the new A matrix, kind of, right? The new phi matrix. And we want to know what the eigenvalues of that phi matrix are, because they're the poles of this thing, okay? So what I can do is I can look at EIG of phi plus gamma k. And I really need to do this. I can't do this with the EIG function in octave because I don't know what the k is yet, right? So I have to actually solve for what the k1 and k2 are, right? I mean, I should maybe write up here k equals k1, k2. Okay, that's basically what the k matrix looks like, a 1 by 2. Question mark. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go lambda I minus phi plus gamma k, set that determinant equal to 0. Okay? So let's just do gamma k. Oops, this is wrong kind of squiggle there. Is equal to 0.1.005 times k1, k2, right? Which equals 0.1 k1, 0.1 k2, 0.005 k1. Is that right? This one times that one, right? And this one times that one goes over here, which is 0.005 k2, right? Okay, now I've got to add this to the phi, and the phi was over here, right? So, and then I've got to take lambda I minus that, right? So this part, I'm just going to kind of go like this. This is 0.1 k1 plus 1, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 1 plus 0.1 k1. And then what is this guy? 0? 0.1 k2. And then this guy is 1 plus 0.005 k1. And this guy is 1, those in parentheses, this is going to be 1 plus 0.005 k2. Man, should have made that bigger, okay? So this guy, when I do this, lambda I minus the determinant of lambda.
Well, let me just do that.
I'll do this in another step here. So I'm going to have lambda minus 1 plus 0.1 k1, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm going to have to have minus 0.1 k2, right? And then minus 0.1 plus 0.005. I'm going to think here. And then lambda minus 1 minus 0.005 k2, and then I want that, right?
Plus.
Okay, now I got to go this times this minus that times that, and set that equal to 0, right? And I don't know. Does Wolfram Alpha do this kind of thing pretty easy? Hey, you guys, I'm getting tired of this already. Is there a
Wolfram Alpha?
Okay. Should I just do it by hand or
what? At this point,
yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I'm going to have lambda squared, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lambda squared. And then I'm going to have plus lambda times, right? Basically, it's going to be that guy plus that guy, right? So it's really a minus lambda times.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be 1 plus 1 is 2, right? 2. And then I've got plus 0.105?
No,
plus 0.1K1 plus 0.005K2, right? Now I've got some more, don't I? Plus.
No.
Is that right? Oh, I guess, I already got the 2, so I guess that's okay. Plus, and now I've got the 0.1K1 times 0.005K2, right? And then I've got minus this guy times that guy, right? Which is minus. Okay, 0.01K2, and then minus, 0.0005K1, is that right? K2? Sit back for a second and see if I did that right. I've got to do this guy times that guy, and I'm going to have, there's going to be a whole bunch of terms I missed here, right? No, let's see, I did, this term was that guy times that guy, right?
Yeah.
There, right? But there's, yeah, but this term was this guy. Where did I think there's two more pieces I'm missing in here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's put those two more pieces in. So I've got 1 times 0.005 plus 0.005K2, right? And then I've got plus 0.1K1, right? Plus 1. Now, were these negative? No, I guess not. They're positive, right? And that equals zero. Let's just double check. So these two, those three terms went with this one, and those were the two guys like this, right?
Now,
what
if
this one right here.
Negative? But then that negative makes it positive.
This negative times that negative is a positive, and then I've got a negative for that backwards one here. Oh, good. Can you solve for K1 and K2?
It actually solves for lambda.
Yeah, right. Well, it solves for lambda, right? But yeah, actually, lambda, we got to put in what lambda is. Lambda is those numbers we know, right? We want lambdas to be three, whatever it was, those z's, right?
Yeah.
So we need to put in lambda. Lambda, we want lambda to be equal to, we had it before, let me write it again. Yeah, I actually did place function. It worked fine for the continuous, but it didn't work for the discrete. That was another error I found with MATLAB, but it probably has to do with the same thing. But yeah, the funny thing is, it should work, right? I mean, here, we want... Okay, so now you're on this topic. Before we go look that up, let's just do this here. I can show you where I did it. Okay, so let's do help place. Okay, so here's the place function, right? You put the system in there, right? and then you put the poles. Well, and it does it say the system has to be right, continuous or discrete, right? Okay, so let me try it here. But, you know, we could put in the A and the B. We could do that, but let's try.
If you do that, that's only for continuous.
Oh, that's only for continuous. But it shouldn't, the formula is the same, right? So
yeah,
it should work for discrete, right?
But it doesn't know it's discrete. But when you plug in a system, the system type is either continuous or discrete.
Right.
But
it doesn't matter what the matrices. It should give you the right answer with the matrices because the way you place the poles here is exactly the same way I place the poles with the continuous, right? But you know, well, so I'll put in the discrete here. So I'm going to go place. Well, let's just if I think I did this up. Let's just find this somewhere up here. I did it already, and it was giving me the wrong answer. Probably has to do here. Oh, I saw it right there. Okay, there it is. See, isn't that what we want to do? Hz is the discrete thing. There's the poles right there, right? Okay. Then they got that. Oh, hey, that's right. Oh, but Hz is right now.
Yeah.
Because before Hz wasn't right.
Yeah.
That's why. Right? But these are right, okay? So if you put in lambda, what did I put in? It's lambda is 0.37.
Four nine.
Plus or minus J, 0.3 or 0.3. And so you put in those guys, and you solve for K1 and K2, you get K1 equals minus 10 point, what was it?
0.35.
And K2 equals
-49.33 34.
Okay, which that is right, because if I do EIG right now, EIG of phi minus gamma times F, right? Not plus gamma times F, sorry. Here we go. Okay. So that's right. These double check. These give EIG of B plus gamma K equals the lambda above. Okay? Great. Okay, now, how much time we got? Oh, shoot, we're out of time again. Well, I guess that gives me some more time to figure out why my simulation isn't working. But anyway, so we did figure out some things today. Beware of TF2SS. There's some things that work beautifully in the continuous domain, but something is weird, you know, and they're getting discrete and continuous messed up or mixed up or something. So be careful. And I was having, you know, when I did the place with the old HZ, it was giving me the wrong poles, you know. But HZ, I think once you get HZ right, which right now, what is HZ? Let's look at HZ. That is correct right now, right? But HZ before, notice the interesting thing is it says, well, no, I don't know. I mean, how can you tell? Well, it does say sampling time is this, right? Let's go look and see
if we when we did it in the other order, does it say sampling time is this? I bet it doesn't. Let's try that. Because the old order, what was the old order? We did H, right? We did, what did we do? We did C2D. Oh, except, yeah, C2D of H, right? And what do we call that? We called that, I'll call this HZ. I'm going to call it O for old, okay? Oh, I got to put in the T in there, comma T, okay? And then TF, F, here's what we did, TF2SS of HZ, what did I say, O, right? That's all I did, right? It doesn't say anything about sampling time is whatever, right? So watch out when it doesn't say sampling time is whatever. It's not might be giving you the right thing.
Well, it took care of the sampling time up there.
Well, it did up there. But when I did this thing, it didn't seem like it thought that thing. See, was I think it thinks Z is equal to S there, right?
Yeah.
Which is,
yeah.
That's a, you know, that's a kind of a nasty little thing to run into, right? And it's the same in MATLAB, so watch out. It's like, oh, okay. But that still doesn't solve my problems, my big problems. Oh, anybody else want these things? Yeah, please take circuits. I've got old ones, too, here, if you didn't get this one. You going to see Brian?
Sure, yeah, I guess I'll
play. Oh, thanks. Cool. Okay, now, first thing I got to do is turn off this recorder, right? So I don't have to figure out how to edit that thing like I do on the other one.